Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And let me go.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. As here you leap today and enter a world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasies. We bring you the latest and greatest from the House of Mouse, the House of Ideas in a galaxy far, far away. And to take you on this adventure is myself, your host, Liam.
And I'm Brittany.
And oh my goodness, let's give them the rundown. What's coming up in the world of Disney?
All right, we have to talk about that Disney-Fox merger. And it's done. It only took forever. Toy Story 4 trailer, gotta talk about it. Disney resorts are all booked up leading up to Galaxy's Edge opening. Spider-Man ride details, plus Millennium Falcon ride details.
Very cool. In Marvel, we've got the Endgame runtime, and it will make it the longest Marvel movie to date. Spider-Man Far From Home gets a look at Spidey in some foreign destinations, but it looks like we won't get another trailer until after Endgame. And then Iron Man VR coming to PlayStation summer 2019.
And of course, Star Wars news, Taika Waititi takes on IG-88.
And then Kenobi solo series may be back in development.
And a musical about Star Wars.
Dun, da, 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 da. Wait, a musical?
Yeah, you're in it, obviously.
Obviously.
Don't you remember you auditioned? You totally got the callback. Maybe you just didn't get the full ride, just the callback.
I was going to say, is this the announcement right now?
You missed your calling. Like, reading this, I was like, why did he not audition for this?
I didn't know it even existed.
I know, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, then I would audition and they'd be like, you can be Chewbacca. I'm like, I'm not even that tall.
They're like, we just don't want to see your face.
They're like, it's okay, Han is really short, so it works. Oh, they don't want to see my face?
That's what I thought you were going with.
Or they were like, you're already bearded, so no makeup.
Is that where they're going with this musical?
Well, I can only hope so. Low budget, low budget. Practical effects.
It is off Broadway, so.
Oh my gosh. Perfect. So we'll give you guys all of this and more on this episode of Hilt Radio. But as always, we'll dive headfirst into our adventures of the week. So T1, take us on in.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
All right. So what did we do other than watch Into the Spider-Verse like 20 times a day? Nothing, because that's all we did.
Yeah. We bought Into the Spider-Verse on Blu-ray the day that it came out. How can you not? And this one had the book, like the picture book that gives you a little more description and whatnot on some of the characters.
The Target exclusive, which if they're cheap enough, I'll buy them. If they're like $30-something for the book, I'm like, well, I can buy a better book for cheaper than that and the movie at a little less price. And I buy this one, and then I go on to look at, like, Walmart's exclusive. They got a freaking Miles Morales action figure with theirs.
Seriously?
And now I'm bummed we didn't get that one. And it was an action figure that I think, like, his mask came off.
Oh.
Like, so you can have mask on or mask off.
Well,
Miles.
Remy has that one. It's just the head removes, and then the head goes on.
Does he?
Yeah, his Miles Morales. You can change the hands, and you can change the head. Same thing with his Gwen Stacy.
Well, I'm sure we lost all those little pieces, because I haven't seen those in a while.
Well, they're in one of the many popcorn buckets that are now littering his closet at this point, because every time we go to the movies, we always come back with a popcorn bucket, because Remy love the popcorn. But yeah, so we've really been watching Into the Spider-Verse, because that's pretty much Remy's favorite movie, and as soon as we finish watching it, he'll go, hey, can I watch Spider-Verse again? And then we immediately put Into the Spider-Verse right back on. And he super cutely always asks if he can be Miles Alice as opposed to Miles Morales. But I tried correcting him the first couple times and then realized that he was never really going to get it right. So we just sort of left it as it's Miles Alice now.
Yeah, it works. So then at least he understands that it is Miles Morales.
Yeah.
It's just never going to come out of his mouth that way.
No.
Maybe in another year, but
we'll see.
Once school starts.
Well, but what was cool is because the other day we had mentioned going to the comic book store and Remy got like super excited for it. And then we didn't end up going Friday. So Saturday he brought it up again. So we were like, all right, well, we have to go Saturday. So we went to a comic book store and it was actually a newer, bless you. newer comic book store, because it's a newer one that opened like last year, but then they moved locations. Maybe it opened 2 years ago.
It opened a few years ago.
And then they moved locations. So we went to the new location and we told Remy he could buy a comic book. He asked to get three, but we ended up getting just two.
Yeah.
So he got a...
he got a Spider-Man comic.
Yeah.
And then, right here.
Yep.
It is Marvel Action Spider-Man, and it has Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Gwen Stacy, and they all kind of team up. It's only the second issue, but from the gist of it, they all become friends and know each other's secret identities, which I think is pretty cool. And then he also got a Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because he is on a Ninja Turtles kick right now. So he wanted a Ninja Turtles comic, as he's trying to tell me how much he loves it right now. Oh, you love the show?
Yeah, the Ninja Turtles
Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes, because we're watching that on repeat, too.
Of course.
We've seen every episode. I saw a fun little backstory, which if you guys never knew, I never watched Ninja Turtles when I was a kid. I mean, I'd watch it if it was on, but I never cared about Ninja Turtles.
Like the cartoon or the movies?
It was not all of it. Like,
oh, okay.
It was not my jam. Ninja Turtles were not my thing. It was not until not until this year, probably, maybe late last year, where I couldn't even get other than the Ninja Turtles right, like to color. Never. It just doesn't stay in my brain.
Which is like amazing to me, because you know like the actors that portrayed the Power Rangers, but yet you can't get
that's color necessary information.
Oh god, it's the most useless.
Amy Jo Johnson is a staple.
Yeah, but they've replaced those actors numerous times, whereas the Ninja Turtles have always stayed those four turtles with those four colors.
Power Rangers stopped after the very first Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Okay,
just
after
in
that,
your mind,
Pirate Power Rangers don't exist to me. Space Pirate Power Rangers don't exist to me. Ninja
Animal,
Power Rangers. Yeah. I don't even know what they are anymore.
The Next Generation. It's all bad. But yeah, no, I thought that was really cool that those were the comics that he picked out. And then we've told him that every month we'll go back and he can buy another comic book. So that way he can start building his own comic book collection.
Yeah, he goes, can I have a comic collection?
Yeah, he was very excited. And honestly, I was really excited because I don't think, I want to say I was probably like 8 or 9 maybe by the time.
When you started. Collecting your own comics?
Well, no, because it would have been, I would have 11, because it would have been 93, would have been, I think, when X-Men 300 came out.
Do you want to know how old I was? 4.
4, yeah. Yes, it would have been, because it was like the 30-year anniversary of X-Men.
That year,
X-Men had
not
come
collecting
out,
comics, guys.
Right? Or like of Marvel or whatever, because it was like 63... It was like 1963 to 1993, because I remember that being in like the bottom corner of the front page of the book. And it was like a holographic cover, which was really cool. So, yeah, you would have been 4, but I was 11.
Yeah.
10 going on 11.
In age.
Yes.
Not when I started collecting comics. I didn't collect comics until Leo came around.
No, you were 4 when I was collecting comics.
Yeah.
So bless you again. But luckily, Remy gets to kick off.
Bless you.
He gets to kick off his own comic book collection. So
you're welcome from all the sneezes. It's springtime now,
oh
so allergies.
Yeah, my voice has been in
this whole family.
I have been coughing intermittently, which has not been enjoyable. So Into the Spider-Verse, if you guys haven't watched it or if you haven't listened to our review on it, we loved it.
Yes.
And hopefully
love it.
Yeah, hopefully you guys have gone out and loved it as well.
There's not a time of viewing where I don't find something new that I'm just like, gosh, that was so brilliant.
Yeah.
Everything about it. The voice cast was epic. I love, is his name Jake or Jack Johnson?
Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson. Jack Johnson's the singer.
Yeah.
He was such a brilliant choice.
I love it.
And I kept thinking like, oh, I'm going to love all these other people even more. But no, he just sits so perfectly for that Spider-Man.
Well, and you had like a stroke of genius. That,
oh, with the
like,
Deadpool thing?
If you took Jake Johnson's Spider-Man and teamed him up with Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of, I was like, do I want it to be live action or do I want just Ryan Reynolds to voice a cartoon version of Deadpool and have them
be
in a movie together?
I think that would be great.
And I kind of like that better because I like Jake Johnson, but I don't think I want him to be live action Spider-Man.
Same.
I just want him to be that.
I want this
version.
Spider-Man.
Yes.
I was going to have a crush on that Spider-Man.
Right?
Like, he's probably my new favorite animated crush.
So, after you had said that, I got to thinking. So, we end Into the Spider-Verse with that Peter Parker going back to his reality and him trying to address some of the challenges, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But some of the challenges that he faces, which puts him in the situation that he's in by the time he gets into the Spider-Verse, he's trying to right the ship, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. right, in his life. How cool would it be if Deadpool gets introduced and it's him trying to balance righting the ship while still either evading Deadpool or dealing with Deadpool right. in some regard? Whether it's okay like a team it. Up and Deadpool's just making everything go wrong, like he's basically like the buffoon best friend type thing, mm-hmm. but or if it's the story arc in the comics where Deadpool was hired to kill Peter Parker, but he like idolizes so Spider-Man, much, yeah. so he's just trying to hang out with Spider-Man all the time. And Peter Parker
not realizing,
yeah, that they're the same person.
Yes.
So.
Either way, I don't care. Make it happen. I think Jake Johnson and Ryan Reynolds would be a great little team up yeah. with their wittiness.
I don't know whose quips would be better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Equipped with quips.
I'm excited for that. We also bought Mary Poppins Returns.
Yes, as one does.
Same day, because they really got to stop doing this where they're releasing these movies. I know they're different companies, but releasing them the same day. I feel like this has happened with a couple of movies recently where they didn't come out at the same time. There was a couple weeks in between, but yet they still managed to release them physically the same yeah. day. And it's like, come on, man, my pocketbooks are not happy right now. But it's hard to pass it up when you're going through and you see Emily Blunt's face staring at you and you're looking at Into the Spider-Verse. So I'm like, well, there's not a question, I'm taking them both. So got Mary Poppins Returns, enjoyed it just as much as the first time. This time got to watch some of the extra bonus features
yes.
and see the making of it, which they released some of that stuff on social media. So like the fun slide into the bath, like how they created a slide for them yeah. to actually go down to make it fun. Like that would have been like the best day on the set. They showed her flying in with the kite when they reel her in with the kite when she first comes back to Cherry Tree Lane.
Right.
And that was so cool, and how she was like really nervous to do it, but she looked phenomenal doing it either way, acting. But I'm excited to watch the rest of the bonus features and to watch the movie again. Just haven't had time because Remy and Liam don't give up the TV with Into the Spider-Verse. So
yeah, pretty much.
And Ninja Turtles. So that's all we've been watching. I haven't gotten to watch Mary Poppins more than once.
I'll be 100% honest. And, you know, I think this isn't just indicative of like Disney, but I think it's kind of across the board. I feel like the special features they put on like the Blu-rays yeah. are nowhere near as good as they used to
nope.
be. I feel like we used to get like really interesting special features.
Yep.
Now with these ones, it almost feels like unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
Like they started to give you something which would have been cool, and then they got about 45 seconds into it and said, well, that's good enough.
Well, and now it's one of those things where if you still have things like Disney Channel, or if you follow them on certain social media sites, you've already seen it.
Right.
So it's like, that's not even anything bonus. You gave that to us already before the freaking digital was released too. Like they did
yeah.
this way months before you were releasing anything, and you're selling this as bonus features. It's like,
it's kind of a cop out.
Yeah.
It's been a bummer. I mean, I feel like it's everything that we've bought. I think the only one that kind of delivered on some of the behind the scenes stuff was Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that yes. actually had some really good behind the scenes stuff.
And that's not Disney, so.
Yeah, and that's what I want more of, is I want mm-hmm. the making of it. Like, especially when it's voice acting stuff, I love to see more like of the blooper reels, like what were yes. some of the mistakes that they made, or, you know, how did they cast these people? You know, like how did they decide that these were the actors they wanted to go with? Like, I mean, we got a snippet of that with like Nick Cage, when they were like, oh, well, we wanted Nick Cage. And then he did his take on Spider-Man Noir. And then they came in and he goes, oh, you want the full Cage? And then went full Nick Cage. So, you know, but little things like that, I want more of
more.
That. I want to see more of like, what was their process? Like, how did
yeah.
the people get involved? And I don't know. I kind of felt like
movies just don't do it anymore.
No. Like I said, it's like they start, but then it's like they gave up not even halfway through. They gave up 45 seconds into
developing
it. Or
they did it and then they just cut it. And we're like, now we're only going to give them this much.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It feels kind of cheap, because I thought that was supposed to be the selling point of, well, here's a Blu-ray, because otherwise it's, you know, the selling point of seeing it in the movie theater is the experience,
yes.
right? Like, here's $10 popcorn and a $17 12-ounce soda. You know, here's an $18 box of chocolates.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But you get to sit in a really uncomfortable seat surrounded by people you don't know in a darkened room that's either too hot or too cold. But, hey, it's really big on the screen. That'll be $13.75, please. Oh, you wanted to see it in IMAX? It'll be $23.75, please.
Oh, gosh, totally.
So you think about that experience, and that's what you're paying for, right? And then this Blu-ray experience is supposed to be like, well, look at the sharp quality, and look at how much better this is, and look at all these bonus features and all this tie-in stuff. And then it's basically like, here's a two-minute blooper reel of Anthony Mackie saying, cut the check.
Cut the check.
Cut the check.
Yeah, Remy makes it.
So I don't know. The movies are still fantastic, but the bonus features have been wanting.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to get any better from here. I think this is the route that they're taking, and it's just what we got to deal with.
Yeah, let us know your guys' take. Like, one, did first off, did you guys get both of these movies?
Or
and if not, which movie did you end up getting? And then two, do you feel like the bonus features were sufficient, or do you feel like they could be doing more with it? Or maybe it's more than enough and you don't really care about the bonus features.
Yeah, maybe some people don't even watch the bonus features.
But for us, we probably watch the bonus features first and then kick on the movie.
True, because we already know what the movie is.
Perfect.
Anywho, let's get some news.
All right, let's do this.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
All right, let's kick it off with a Disney Fox merger.
Woo-woo!
It's done.
Yeah.
It's complete.
Finito.
Oh, let's go in there next. But thank you for finishing my sandwich.
Well, I thought we were trying to, I thought we were trying to have rapport. We're trying to have a little back and forth here.
I thought you were just trying to take over like usual. Anywho.
Lame.
So the Disney-Fox merger is complete. I don't know. Are you excited? You think it took forever? What's going to happen? Is anything going to change?
I mean, it definitely took forever. That's there's no question about that.
But. Are we bored with it because it's been in the works for so long that it kind of felt like it was already done a long time ago?
No, I wouldn't say that I'm bored, but it's definitely, we already knew it was happening.
Yeah.
And now it's just the waiting game for, okay, well, when are these characters going to get introduced?
Like, yeah, so now it's the exciting part.
Right, it's cool. Like, oh, they have access to aliens.
I don't know. All these other intellectual properties. Endgame is around the corner. Maybe we will get that Deadpool cameo in one of the end credit scenes that everybody's so excited for.
I don't know.
I would be freaking awesome, though, if we did.
I mean,
like, just as a joke.
Yeah.
Ah, do it.
Well, I mean, it would have been cool, but I think it would have been a missed opportunity because the whole in the comics were... Deadpool marries Death, and Thanos hates him for it because Thanos is in love with Death.
Well, they definitely missed that.
But that would have been super funny. Like,
well, they didn't even introduce Death as part of the problem.
Well, no, I thought it was going to be Hela. I thought she was going to be the personification of Death, but they didn't go that route. But no, I mean, I'm excited for it because now it's official, right? It means that we will eventually have a new Fantastic Four, a new X-Men. It was actually funny. Somebody I follow had retweeted Alexandra Shipp, the girl that plays Storm in X-Men Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And she had posted a tweet like 2 years ago that was like, y'all really think that they're going to recast us or something like that? And it's like, yeah, that's actually exactly what's going to happen.
Oh.
So the person had retweeted and put like, well, this didn't age well. So So I would imagine that, probably post Far From Home. That's what I'm going to say. So as we get out of the summer, then we'll start hearing more news about releases for X-Men. Because now, as we talked about in the last show with James Gunn being reinstated for Guardians Volume 3, mm-hmm. I assume they're going to fast track that. And so for 2020, we'll have Black Widow solo movie, we'll have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and then we'll have Eternals. And those will be the three movies for 2020. So I imagine that they'll probably, that's part of the reason they haven't announced anything else because they
already have stuff in the works.
Well, that or they kind of have in their head like, okay, this is where we're going to start introducing these characters. Mm-hmm. My assumption would be Eternals. We would probably get some sort of look at the mutants
mm-hmm.
and then, or reference, passing reference to the mutants. And then I would say probably in 2021 is when we probably get X-Men, like an actual like MCU X-Men movie. Unless they decide to go Fantastic Four first, which is totally a possibility.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. But I'm pumped. What about you?
I'm excited that it's finally official. We knew it was happening. It wasn't going back. I mean, unless something illegal happened. But thank goodness nobody got sued, and it's happening. I mean, it's always a bummer anytime a business gets bought out and layoffs happen, for sure. Of course, that's the news going around where people are like, well, how could you still appreciate Disney after doing this? It's like, this isn't the first time this has happened, guys. This happens all the time with every company you can possibly think of. Does it make it better? No, it doesn't. It sucks. It sucks for those people and their families. I feel really bad for them. Not saying it's a happy situation. I can only hope that they go on to find work easily. But as much as, yes, it is Disney's fault, it's also Fox's fault because they wanted to sell to begin with.
Well, it's not really – I wouldn't even really put the blame on Disney.
It's part of the business.
Well, because it was the same thing as when Disney bought Lucasfilm and then dissolved LucasArts. Yeah. So the entire video game division was completely gone. And that's not even because Disney had like an in-house video game department that they were really utilizing. They ended up outsourcing it all to other companies like EA. So – I mean, like, these are the you almost have to put – if you're going to place blame, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, these are businesses trying to make money. But if you're going to place blame, you have to put it on the company that's selling because they're the ones that are saying, okay, we no longer want to own this property.
And we
want to
make a pretty penny right now.
We don't want to own this company, so we're not really invested in the outcome of our employees and whether or not the purchasing company has jobs available for them, you know?
I think people are just looking at this as ammunition.
It's the big bad mouse.
Ammunition to why they still hate Disney. Star Wars fans are hating them right now because they're like, oh, you ruined Star Wars because you took them over and now you're doing this to people. I hate you. Disney, you suck. And then other people who don't like MCU films, which is nuts to me, but those people that do exist are like, oh, you ruined Marvel comics.
You know, Marvel fans that don't like having Marvel movies that are actually
nuts,
good.
Whatever. you ruined everything, so I hate you. Blah, 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 blah. Same with Pixar. Same. All these things that Disney does, you know, there's always a reason that you want to hate them more, and I get it. Like, it's okay that you hate things. You don't have to love everything. But on this podcast, I don't know if you guys knew this, but we love Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, and Pixar. So we are pumped for this merger. Yes, we are looking at the brighter side of things, and we are looking forward to the fact that we will get things like Deadpool and X-Men and Fantastic Four involved with the people that we love so much. Like, if Disney has done such great things this far with the properties we love, heck yeah, we're pumped for this. Like, why wouldn't we be? We would be nuts not to. So I'm sorry if you're on the other side of it. I hope that positivity will hit you in the butt sooner or later because it's nice to be happy.
Right.
So.
Well, and it's funny too because some people were thinking like, and myself included, I think like a couple of years ago before the whole Disney thing was, Disney Fox was even an option, is I had said like, oh, well, I don't know if I really want that because that means it's going to be even less frequently that we get an X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. But really, it's like for each character, we get a movie pretty much every 3 years, which has been pretty much along the same time frame as what we get for X-Men. It's just maybe it pushed. Yeah, maybe it pushes back some of the other characters we may have gotten sooner.
Yeah.
You know, but by the same token, it's like, well, no offense to those characters, but I'd rather have the X-Men. So I'm fine if I get an X-Men movie every 3 years or I see those X-Men characters popping up in other superhero movies. Like, who doesn't want a Wolverine versus Hulk movie? I mean, heck, everybody should want one at this point.
We shall see what happens. So I'm
super pumped.
And then also with that, you can go onto the Disney website now and see faces from Fox on the front page of the website. You can see Deadpool right smack in the middle.
Yep.
I want to say Shape of Water's in the middle or on there. Avatar.
Alien.
Is the movie called Avatar?
It's called Avatar.
Okay, for some reason I was like, is it Pandora?
No,
that's what the world is called.
Yeah, the world is Pandora.
Okay, Avatar, Simpsons, the Simpsons are on there, Aliens, all those things right front and center when you go to the Disney website. It's really cool so that they embrace that literally, I want to say day of the merger being official, that was right on the front page. So that was pretty epic. Liam's popping it up right now. He's trying to find it, but I don't think you're on the right website.
Oh, man.
There's a billion of them. But anywho, so if you want to check that out, you could see them there. Everybody's been posting it all over social media when you could see their fun faces and what movies will be under that umbrella now because, hey, yet again, Disney Plus is right around the corner. So I imagine if we're getting any of those things to be streamed anywhere, that's where you'll find it. So cool, cool. There and probably Hulu. So
right.
Let's move it along.
Nice. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Cool.
So obviously following that up, we got to talk about the newest trailer drop from the Wonderful World of Disney and Pixar with Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
So with this trailer, we had gotten little teasers before, like little
fun
little tastes, if you will. But this one actually gave us a little bit more of the plot. So we actually know what's happening in Toy Story 4. So I know some people are like trailer allergic, if you will.
Yes. Yeah, so
but for the most part, this, I mean, we've seen
you don't want to know anything for the next couple minutes. We'll be chatting about
right
it.
Well, we've been introduced to Forky, and now we understand what is Forky's role in the movie. Because
yes.
I wasn't sure if it was just like, here's something funny we could put in a trailer.
Yeah.
But it turns out that this is going to be a
legit.
An integral part of the storyline, and Woody basically teaching this homemade craft that how to be a toy. And
yes.
what is the importance and the relevance. So he's almost taking on like that Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, like... mentor role. And I dig that. I think that's really interesting. That's really cool. And I like that the focus seems to be mostly Woody.
Yeah, you know? This one definitely is very focused on Woody. But then when you think about Toy Story 2, so was that one.
That one was
also focused on Woody.
Toy
Story 3 kind of had a good split of where it was focused on Woody. It always is. If you think about all the films, they always are focused on Woody, which makes sense. He is Andy's toy. And it kind of shows how Buzz has to help him out in some way, or he has to help Buzz in some way, or, you know, all the other toys come together. But this one, yeah, for sure is hinging on the whole Woody finding Bo, but also Woody helping out Sporky. And
is that it Forky or Sporky?
Forky.
Forky, yeah. Because he's a spork, but she calls him Forky.
Gosh, should have just named him Sporky.
Yeah.
It sounds the same.
No.
He's a spork. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Prickle Pants, I love you.
Yeah.
He's like, no, this is not going over any of our heads. Why are we going to play with this fork?
And maybe chili, and then I go in the garbage.
Yeah, chili's kind of pushing it. Depends on how thick that chili is.
This is true.
For that spork.
But yeah, no, I liked the trailer. I thought it was, honestly, though, the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, wait, what? Like,
it's very serious.
Yeah.
I think this one was, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the Toy Story 3 trailer and the other ones just to see the tone of them. But I feel like this one, all of the little teasers have been fun and like uplifting and just kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
And now you go to this and you're like, are they just going to make me cry the whole movie?
Yeah, this one they kind of teed it up as though, hey, this is going to be super emotional. And then that having a Beach Boys song on it, which is typically really lighthearted and fun.
Was like the saddest.
Really? Yeah, honestly. Just made it,
that
gave it way more
scenario.
Gravity.
Yeah, it did, but it makes me want to listen to the Beach Boys now. Anywho.
Tone would love to hear that.
Oh, well, Beach Boys are great. I think Remy has a sugar rush. Oh, he just dropped sugar, literally sugar, baby bottle pop sugar all over him. I think he's regretting his life decisions at the moment. He hates being dirty. Oh my God. Sorry, guys. Anyway, let's get back to Toy Story 4.
Yes, let's go ahead and get back to it. So, end result, good trailer. Gave us a good amount of information. Excited for this movie?
Oh, yeah, I'm pumped for this movie. A super exciting trailer. I think even though it was kind of more on the Debbie Downer side, we know Woody's going to get separated from the crew again, and Buzz and the other guys have to come find him somehow. This is just, it's repetitive. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It is Woody's life. But I'm excited for the antique scene, because that seems like it's going to be very dark.
The one with Christina Hendricks.
Gabby Gabby. And she looks awful. The dummy looks awful. And by awful, I mean like great, but like horrifying for kids. So good job, Pixar, for doing that. Thank you for scaring all of us, because dolls are freaking creepy.
Oh, and then the complaints that like young, the real quick shot we got of like young Andy doesn't look like young Andy. And I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. Go back and watch Toy Story 1 and 2. Young Andy is creepy as all get out. There's no way I want to watch another movie where he looks like a freaking Stepford Cuckoo psycho. Where
like his eyes are just like bugging out of his head.
Oh my God. That was probably the reason Pixar was like, you know what? Let's just do movies that don't involve actual people. Because when we animate people, it sucks.
Yeah.
They
figured it out now.
Oh my God, it's so good now. Well, Bonnie's adorable. Adult Andy from Toy Story 3 looks fantastic. This Andy, like you said, looks like a younger version of
Closer to Andy. People are saying that it's not going to be Andy, that it's going to be Andy's father. Or I'm like, that doesn't make sense. He has Jesse. Like, he's playing with Jesse and Woody.
Yeah. See, I still like the concept that Emily is Andy's mom. And that Jessie was Andy's mom's doll that she gave away when she was turning a teenager.
Oh, and it made its way.
Yeah, and then it makes its way back to Andy. So she actually does come home. I was always hoping that they do like a little nod that she does like say something like,
I used to have a toy just like this.
Yeah, or even Jesse just being like, your mom looks really familiar. Because it's been a long time. But then it would really showcase how long Jesse has been in a box.
Uh-huh.
Because the mom is, you know.
And why she's so paranoid to go back in a box.
Exactly. So I dig that.
Are you combat Carl? Sorry, I just really love that line.
So
in
good.
That extra little
Toy Story of Terror. Nice.
Awesome. So yeah, excited for this. June 21st, you can look forward to watching Toy Story 4 because we will be there
with
opening day.
Of course. So Disney Resorts are all booked up for Galaxy's Edge opening, and we are not the least bit surprised. So once Disney had announced that May 31st was going to be the first time that you could book a reservation to Galaxy's Edge, and that anyone that was booked at one of their resorts would automatically get a reservation for Galaxy's Edge, everybody decided, well, we're just going to already book the rooms.
People love being first,
yeah,
and they were smart to be first and book up that May 30th reservation. Because then that would mean that they would probably, I'm hoping that it would mean that the 31st they would get a reservation. I hope they were smart enough to book it for like a couple of days, just in case they were like, sucker, the 30th was your reservation day and it was not open.
Yeah.
I hope they do that.
And but you brought up that the perfect point that it's like, we all complained about when they opened Pixar Pier and charged like a pre-entry fee. And people were like, oh, I don't want to pay $200 or $300 or whatever it was to try to get in a day early. I'll just wait a day and go. And people were talking about that. But now you're like, dude, you just booked a $600 hotel room.
Right. Like if at the cheap end, like $400 to $600.
Yeah.
You know, for one of those resorts. And I want to say Paradise Pier now is no cheaper than high threes on their low days.
Oh yeah, no,
like they're all in their 400s now. Grand Californian is always above 500, so is Disneyland Hotel, and that's a night. So on this peak season, I can't imagine what a price was for one of those rooms, and you know that they booked multiple nights, so you guys just spent probably over $1,000 to get a reservation in to see this. And all of these people are people who live in the area. So yes, you guys just spent over $1,000 to see Galaxy's Edge first. More power to you that you had the money to do that. But holy crap, when we were talking smack about $300 being a lot to go to Pixar Pier, oh, to think about spending $300 on Galaxy's Edge, maybe? No, actually, no. We wouldn't do it. I'm not even going to lie. For three of us, we would not be spending over $300 to go see Galaxy's Edge before everybody else.
No.
Because we just have other things to spend money on. And the fact that we will get there eventually, like, it's there. It'll happen. The fact that there's only one ride open. Oh, my God. People are spending over thousands of dollars for a reservation. Yes, guys, you did. And I know you're not thinking about it that way. You're thinking like, oh, I'm getting a resort stay. You live 10 minutes from the park.
Yeah, right.
Your house is your resort stay. The fact that you don't have to pay. I'm getting so angry right now. That is the coupon moocher in me. Like,
right.
Oh.
Well, I just looked up the hotel pricing. You're looking at like mid 300s to low 400s for Paradise Pier. Mid 400s to mid 500s for Disneyland Hotel, and then high 800s to $1,250 for the Grand Californian.
One night.
So, yeah, that's nuts to me. I mean, look, at the end of the day, if you've got the money,
awesome.
Like, good on you to be able to do that. It's just, I cannot fathom spending that kind of money. But then again, people probably look at us like, you guys are idiots. You buy annual passes and you only get to go 4, 5, maybe 6 times a year. But to us, it's worth it. So for these people, if it's worth it, like, hey, power to you, man. That's
radical.
You
guys just spent how much money we spent on our whole annual pass. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
To go make sure that you are there the first day that it opens. Okay. It better be amazing. It better knock your socks off and be the experience of a lifetime.
Well, and what you and I were talking about is how many hotel rooms are there, and then is there going to be any availability to the public
beyond what
is available to the hotels, or is it going to be you have to book a hotel room in order to be able to get a reservation because they're not going to be any left.
And I wonder if just the people who had booked months ago, that before this was even a thing, that were like, that don't even know what's going on. Yeah. Like, they're going to get something and be like, wait, what? We get to go to Galaxy's
Edge? But I wonder if,
cool.
But I wonder if you get that because you already have it booked, or if you have to book it at a certain date. Like, after a certain date,
when
you have to have it booked
it?
A room. Exactly.
Okay, that makes yeah. sense, too. But anyway, those resorts being booked up on the 30th just shows how busy that time is going to be. With just those resorts alone, and you know people are coming in, I hope you guys know that you have to have a reservation to get into that park. You cannot expect to wait in a line and get in. It's not going to happen. You have to have a reservation. No, you don't have to stay at a resort, but they're going to announce soon. I want to say Disney Parks blog is the place that they keep telling you to check. They're going to announce that soon when those reservations go up. They are free, so it's yeah. just a matter of if you get one and for what day within that month of its first opening.
Well, I was going to say it's probably a day, and I almost can guarantee you they'll give you time blocks too.
Yeah.
That you'll only be in there for yeah. like a certain amount of time. So
I don't know. I would imagine, but who knows how long waiting in a ride line is going to be when there's only one ride.
Well, but you also have to figure there's only going to be so many people
yeah,
that are there.
At that
so,
time. Okay. Yeah. yeah. It's all crowd control. So they know what they're doing. Disney's on it. They've got it covered and they're making all the moolah off of all of us. So
too true.
We'll let you know if we ever get a reservation. All right. So more park news. We got to talk about some new Spider-Man ride details.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Well, and it was interesting too, because they didn't give us a whole lot other
nope.
than like, here's some concept art of the suit, which is very reminiscent of the Stark suit, and also it's going to be a very immersive experience that you get to see what it would be like to be the web slinger himself. And it's like, okay, is this the Iron Man experience like they used to have in Superhero
right.
HQ, or is it an actual ride? Like,
well, they're calling it an attraction, so
yeah.
I mean, I guess that could go anyway, but they're making it seem like this is a ride experience. It is an attraction. You will feel what it's like to be a superhero, and obviously Peter Parker being the main one that they're focusing on, with the whole thing being web. It is Worldwide Engineering Brigade.
Right.
For long. So what they're doing is, like you said, the Iron Man experience. You get to suit up and see what that feels like. I hope it is more in depth than that, because that was awesome.
Yeah.
For what it was and where we got that. Like, that was in Inventions, and that was when it was the Marvel Superhero HQ. We
yeah.
loved it. Probably the best takeover over that area, even over the Star Wars takeover. Like,
oh,
I appreciated
yeah, yeah.
that one so much more. But I hope that it is a ride. That's
yeah.
all I'm hoping for, is that, because this is part of phase one of the Disney, stop doing this. Yeah, because they are releasing or opening Marvel Land, that's what we're going to call it for now, in phases, just like they're doing everything else. Pixar Pier in a phase, Star Wars Land in a phase, Marvel Land in a phase. So phase one will be the Spider-Man attraction,
right.
will be part of that first phase. And then down the road, we'll get another ride, hopefully a roller coaster. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm hoping there's going to be like two more rides in there, but you got to figure we already have Guardians, so that counts as one,
right?
And then we'll have the Spider-Man one, and then probably another one, so we might only be getting one more other than the Spider-Man ride,
right?
Because how much space do they really have over there?
Well, and it's interesting that they decided to go with like a Spider-Man ride, because that's not going to be, that's, I mean, there's a limitation on how much access they have to that intellectual property, you
yeah.
know? Because ultimately, like, that is a Sony property
yeah.
that they're allowing Disney the rights to. So I wonder what is the longevity of that Spider-Man ultimately going to be? And I thought it was interesting that they didn't try to go with maybe something that was more Iron Man-oriented at first, but it mm-hmm. sounds like there's Iron Man influence in the storyline of what this
right.
ride is, but it's not specifically an Iron Man ride.
Yeah, basically Tony Stark has founded the Worldwide Engineering Brigade, or WEB for short, to develop advancements in superpower technology, including new enhancements to Spider-Man's suit as their debut project. By bringing together the world's brightest young inventors, the WEB is creating new interfaces that will empower all of us to join the ranks of Earth's mightiest.
It's pretty
so,
cool.
Tony Stark, yes, very influenced. I imagine we will get some Iron Man, like, fill in. I feel like there's, the way they describe it is that they talk about multiple superheroes. Like, you're going to get what it feels like to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Not just Spider-Man. Yeah. So I think, like, the base is starting at Spider-Man, but then you also get a chance to feel like what it is to be other heroes.
Which would
probably
be cool.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
Other fly power heroes. I don't know. Vision?
Maybe. Falcon. War Machine.
Who knows? We'll see. We are not Imagineers, but we can't wait for this to happen. I'm excited that they're releasing things slowly. This is opening in Disneyland's California Adventure. Well, Disney California Adventure. And then over in Disneyland Paris. So there will be a new suit that is actually already out in. It's the picture that you can see on this website. We'll post it. Is already out in Paris. It will soon be in California Adventure, and then they're going to release it in all the other parks shortly after. But
nice.
I'm pumped that there's a specific suit from this land that will now be your meet and greet Spider-Man. You know, it's not going to be the one that you see now in the Hollywood land. So that's pretty cool.
The one that always has impressive calves.
Always. And I'm always like, those are fake. Like, there's just no way.
Those are implants.
They put blocks in there.
It's real.
Anywho.
So to piggyback on that, of course, we've also got some ride details for Galaxy's Edge, the Millennium Falcon ride. So with this one, it's something a little bit more in depth. So it gives us kind of a better idea of exactly what we're going to be tasked with once you settle into the cockpit of what can arguably be called one of the most iconic starships of all time.
The YT-1300 light freighter, the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exciting. We already knew that we're, what's his name? Is it Hondo Anaka or something?
Right.
Okay. Honda throws me off. So I'm like, is it Hondo? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's Hondo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically we're in his, like,
Jim Cummings.
Yeah, and it is Jim Cummings. He's back to voice him, and his animatronic is awesome. Hopefully you guys got to see that on one of our posts a while back. But it looks so good. The animatronics they're doing lately are just amazing. It's kind of mind-blowing. Like, you're thinking, like no, that's a person in there. That has to be. That's how good they are. So that looks great. I want to say you're, like, in his garage, or you're in his, like, his shop of some sort where he's doing all his illegal working like he usually does. But that's where you take off from, and, you know, you're doing a mission for him. And during this mission, of course, you're going to have 6 people to a ride system, and you're going to have 2 pilots. You will have 2 gunners, and then you're going to have 2, I think, engineers, I want to say. Yeah, 2 flight engineers. So if you're a pilot, you either get to be the I steer up and down, or the other pilot that steers left and right. Or if you're a gunner, obviously you're trying to take down your enemies around you that are destroying your ship. And then if you're a flight engineer, you're protecting your guys, you know, as you're going. You got to fix what's messing up as either your pilots are crashing into things, or maybe the gunners aren't shooting the guys fast enough, so the ships are taking you guys out. The engineers have to fix that. That is brilliant. Like, it's just like, that alone is so, like, amazing.
Way more involved, because when you think about Star Tours, right, we kind of assume that one of these rides is going to have more of a Star Tours-esque mechanics. But to have it have that level of involvement
is
insane. It's
this
insane
is like
to
Star Tours times 1,000.
Right? And it's awesome, too, because, you know, for some people, like, you'll have a party of 6 or whatever it would be that you all can kind of collaborate. But there's going to be times you go on this ride with complete strangers. And when you think about that, that's going to be very reminiscent to A New Hope, where it was like, here we're 4 people and 2 droids sandwiched into a cockpit that it's like, hey, y'all got to work together right now.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the concept of this. I think the execution is going to be so much fun, and it will be a different experience every time you go on, similar to Star Tours.
Yep. Either you're going to come out best friends with those, you know, noobs you just met.
Or you'd be pissed.
Yeah. Or you're going to hate them.
P-I-S-T, pissed.
Right. Like, that's going to be the new talk of it, is when you're with your friends and your family in these big groups and you're like, really? you didn't shoot that guy. Right. Come on. Like, oh my God, it's going to start okay. all of the family problems.
But we know you can't pilot next time.
We're or at least not doing this right.
Wear your glasses.
I told Liam, if you can't be a pilot in real life, you can't be a pilot on this ride.
So I'm going to end up being, I wouldn't be able to do anything. My eyesight's not good enough to fly. It's not good enough to man the guns. And it's not good enough to touch the 200 working buttons that an engineer is going to have to touch. So basically, I get to sit in the corner and do nothing. So.
You get to enjoy. Strap on back there, 3PO. Don't touch anything. Anywho, but yes, as Liam said, there is 200 buttons on this where all six people will have to press the right buttons at the right time. How do you know which button to press when there's 200 of them working? It'll light up for you. Don't worry. So you just have to hit it in the right amount of time. When it's lit up, make sure you hit that button. It's telling you, hey, press me, even though there's a bajillion other buttons that you can see right in front of your face. But
so cool.
I just love the idea of this. I'm so excited for it. So this will be the Millennium Falcon. What is it, like Smuggler's Run, I want to say, yes. is the ride. And this will be available when Galaxy's Edge opens.
Yeah.
So.
And just that makes it almost worth braving the craziness.
6 hours of waiting in line, I guess.
Oh, my. That's what it'll be. Well, it'll be one of us waiting in line while the other one goes and rides 20 other rides. And then I'll have to text you and be like, hey, I'm only 100 people away from the beginning. And then you could slowly make your way back over to me.
So if you're all the way at the other end of Disney or of California Adventure, don't worry, you got time.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of time. So perfect. So I think that's all we had for Disney news. So jumping into what we have in the magical world of Marvel. So Endgame. So the runtime has officially been announced. And it was kind of, I can't really say that it was official. It was pretty much, it was kind of like by mistake where initially it was like AMC had broken it unintentionally, saying that it was going to be 3 hours and 2 minutes or 182 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it was actually confirmed by Fandango, which to be honest, they're not worried about people trying to buy tickets because they're like, yeah, you're all going to buy tickets.
People are angry that the tickets aren't available yet.
This could be an 8-hour movie. This could be Roots. And you guys are still going to buy tickets immediately to be the first in line. Now, with this one, my only concern is that we do have a rambunctious 4-year-old. So I don't know if he's going to particularly sit through.
Adding on an extra 30 minutes to a movie.
Yeah. But by the same token, he usually falls asleep for about an hour of, I mean, Infinity War, I think he slept through a good hour.
Oh, yeah.
Hour
within like
middle.
The first 10 minutes of the film, he's like, this is interesting. Oh, they're talking about.
Yeah, he loves Into the Spider-Verse, fell asleep in the middle part of that as well. So, and I literally woke him up because I was like, dude, you're missing this and I know you're going to be mad. Like, not mad, but you'll be excited to see what is happening.
Which
right
was
now,
awesome
so.
Because he remembered that, or he didn't remember some things. He goes, wait, this is this movie? Because he realized that he slept through half of it and didn't see that stuff before. Yeah. So he was so shocked at like, this happened in the movie? Like, yeah, kid, you were asleep for like 40 minutes.
No, it's awesome. And what's really cool about this is that Kevin Feige actually addressed the runtime as well. He said, in quotes, we're going to release the movie at the exact right running time. I'm telling you this, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be the exact running time that the movie needs to be. So, and basically he goes on to say that like every movie should feel like it's an hour and 45 minutes. You know, and some movies can be 90 minutes, then they can feel like they're 4 hours. And other movies can be 3.5 hours and feel like 90 minutes. For us, that's what that's what it is. It's all, how does it feel in every version of Endgame thus far? And the ones that we're honing in on feel very good. So I would imagine that, you know, for them, this was probably much longer that they cut down.
Yeah, I imagine it was like a 10-hour movie that they got to this.
I would say they were probably looking at like 4.5 hours. And we're like, okay, well, we got to whittle it down. But it probably got to the point that we're like, we can't cut anything else without sacrificing the integrity of what the movie is.
That's got
to
be the hardest part. I feel like so many movies do that.
And for me personally, I'm totally cool with it being a 3-hour-long movie.
Same.
I sat through the freaking 3-hour version of Batman versus Superman. We that was the cut that we got. And I remember, I mean, no offense to DC fans, but for us, we're not as invested, not just in those characters, but like in that storyline, like that version of Batman and Superman. And that's not to say that all of them are bad. That was just that one we weren't a big fan of. And with that, 3 hours felt like 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I'll be excited that because these are characters that we're invested in, obviously we do a show that talks about Marvel. I'm thinking that these 3 hours for us probably won't feel that long, but no. I could see for Remy being a little bit more anxious to get through that.
Hmm. We'll see, I guess. I'm pumped. 3 hours is not enough for the conclusion of the, what, last 22 films or whatever it is that is happening. So you can add on another hour if you want to, guys. I mean, I'll do it in chapters.
Right.
I'm cool.
It's like a Netflix series now.
I'm just going to binge this. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, look at it that way. When we would watch pretty much any of the Marvel Netflix shows, we usually watch the first 3 to 4 episodes.
Before it tells you, are you still watching?
Yeah, exactly. And then at that point, you're like, I am still watching. And now I've realized that I've watched three or four episodes. Yeah. So it's just like having that. So
it's night.
Yeah.
Happens
much.
Every time.
So speaking of Endgame, the follow-up to that later on this year will be Spider-Man Far From Home, which we've already gotten the teaser trailer for that one, but it looks like we actually won't get another trailer until after Endgame, because my guess would be they really want to build up the suspense. I mean, we are a month away at this point before Endgame's release, so I would imagine that it makes sense why they would kind of wait on these. But in the meantime, they have given us some posters to tide us over, and we actually get to see that Spider-Man is going to do a little world tour there, if you will.
A little European vacation.
Exactly. There's a poster where he's in Venice, he's in Berlin, and he's in London.
Yes.
And previous, we've seen the one where it's a close-up on just the mask, and he has the different stickers, like as though mask is a passport.
Yeah.
So they're definitely tying into the idea of Spider-Man Far From Home. I mean, everything we've seen about this movie gets me really excited for it. The black and red Spider-Man suit is really cool. And I finished the first downloadable content for the Spider-Man PS4 game. So Chapter 1, The Heist. I finished that one and it unlocks Scarlet Spider. And then it also unlocks like the British flag. Spider-Man. So you get some other pretty cool costumes. And the Scarlet Spider one is red and black. It's not quite what you see in Far From Home, but still just the red and black contrast is very sharp. So I'm very excited.
Well, different from what, you know, we're so used to seeing.
Yeah, the red
and
blue.
On screen.
Yeah.
But I'm pumped for this. I know a couple of days ago, or maybe it was like Friday, maybe Thursday, where Tom Holland was tweeting out like Monday. And I think it was Thursday. There you go.
Yeah.
So people were thinking. So many people were like, gosh, Tom, you're such an idiot. It's Thursday. And those are the kind of people that I just want to slap in the face and be like, I hope you're joking and not serious right now, because you know this is all like a gag and it's for fun and people make jokes, but nothing is ever a joke anymore online. So
no,
right over their heads. So I was assuming it was going to be another trailer, you know, just to hint that out, the fact that he would be like Monday, you know, and be excited for it. But I guess posters will have to do.
Yeah. And they're fun though. Like the him hanging from the spider web while he's reading like a map, a brochure of Italy. I like it. I mean, I think
they look phenomenal, but
yeah, just the little things that they did. And I love this costume. Like, I don't know. It just looks so freaking good.
I also got to love the people who are angry that this is even happening. And, you know, they're like, well, thanks for ruining Endgame for me. Well, you're welcome.
Or if you're Josh Kane and you're like, oh, they really must have packed the ash into that costume for it to stay together.
Well,
like
there
that.
Had to be a whole body of ash. So sure. Totally. Maybe they added some water, some sand. I don't know. It's possible. But who knows? Maybe this is all just a fever dream. And this is him in Soul World. And he's thinking about being in Europe because he's never gotten to go there being, I don't know, what, 16?
And he's never going to go.
But we'll find out in Endgame if he really makes it out, guys. I don't know. I'm still pumped. It doesn't piss me off that we're getting trailers or posters for a Spider-Man film. No, it makes me excited to see how the heck we get Spider-Man back, if anything.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I'm excited for this one. I think it will be a fun follow-up to Endgame, and it will ease us into what will be the next phase of the MCU.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's finish it up here with the Marvel news, and we're going to talk about an Iron Man VR virtual reality set that is coming to the PlayStation summer of 2019. So there's kind of a mini trailer to give you an idea of, I mean, it keeps popping up, you know, not actual gameplay, but it still gives you an idea of what's happening, where you get to be Iron Man, you know, you're flying in a plane You're talking to a projection of Friday. The plane, you see a quick snippet of what looks like Ghost hacking in, and then you the side of the plane blows out. You fall out, you armor up, and then you're flying through, kind of blasting things at the, as they come at you. Now, I'll be completely honest. I am not super familiar with the PlayStation virtual reality set. It looks like what you're going to need is the VR headset. You're also going to need, I think it's PlayStation Move is their system. Like,
yeah,
Xbox
I think so.
Is Kinect. I think PlayStation's is Move, where it's the center, the sensor, and then you have like two handheld
snow
units.
Cones.
Yeah, honestly, that's what it looks like, is snow cones, and you'll basically use those as though you're firing, repulsor blast.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was going to say arc blast. Repulsor rays from his hands. So I really like this. So this is kind of a slightly different costume than what we've seen before. It is developed in association with Camouflage, and I mean, this the little trailer thing looks really, really good. Like, this definitely looks like a game I'd be interested in getting, especially, one, we already have a PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Two, we've beaten the main game for Spider-Man. I'm fine with them just keep plugging these superhero video games just straight to the PlayStation, because we're already there.
Yeah, it's Iron Man. I mean, Spider-Man, Iron Man, those are my tops. So I will definitely be looking forward to getting this game. I'm not a huge like virtual reality, like, if it doesn't excite me like it does other people, like,
right.
It is
a very solitary thing.
I'm interested in doing those things like once, but I don't know how much I would continue to do them. That's the only thing for me, is like the whole The Void experience. Awesome. It's, for me, it'd be like a one-time experience. You go, you pay the money, you do it. It's, you know, immersive, and you actually get to go through a like obstacle course or whatever, like actual physical place. That sounds awesome. But then bringing home a virtual reality set, I just, I'll probably play once and then not play again.
See, and it's tough. It's tough because I haven't done any of like the more recent virtual reality things. So I always think back to like the way that they were in the late 90s and early 2000s. Yeah, and they were so awful. So it's like, in my head, I have it that this is, it looks great on the screen.
It looks amazing.
But then it won't be that same sort of interaction. And also, when you think about the Kinect, when we have, like, we have it for the 360, but never use it because the sensor on it is awful.
Yes.
It always makes, it also always tells you you don't have enough room. So whether when we were still at your parents' house, or when we had our own apartment, or now that we own our own house, it still tries to make it seem like we do not have enough room to use the Kinect. It's like, look, we're not in a warehouse. We're not in a 600 square foot warehouse. So I don't know how much space you freaking need to do this thing, mm-hmm. but you're pissing me off. So.
Yeah, I don't want to have to move furniture around to play this game.
No.
But you do. You always have to.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, I guess that shows how big our house is.
Yeah, right? So with that one, though, the Iron Man VR is coming to PlayStation 4 this summer, 2019.
Awesome. So that was it for Marvel News?
Yes, ma'am.
Cool, cool. Let's talk about some Star Wars news. All right. So just, a couple days ago, probably also Friday, Jon Favreau loves to tweet out or post on Instagram really awesome pictures of him on set working on The Mandalorian. And this time it was a photo of Taika Waititi in looked like a voiceover room with IG-88 on the screen. So with nothing, of course, like I think what he said had nothing to give us anything of, yeah, he's gonna voice him. We're just assuming at this point, because why else would he have headphones on? We know that Taika Waititi is helping direct, right, one of the episodes?
Yes.
But honestly, I think he is going to lend a voice to IG-88. I don't know. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, that's
whatever. You do you. But I don't know. I'm excited for that. So what do you think?
No, I mean, like we said, we were excited to hear that Taika Waititi was even going to be involved in The Mandalorian. But now to know that he may also be voicing a character, which, I mean, I can't think of a better character than IG-88 for him to voice. I mean, that's going to be super rad. But it is, you know, it's Taika. Think about what he did with Korg. It was freaking phenomenal. So I'm interested to see what they do with this. I imagine there's going to be more cross-collaboration between, like, the various directors for The Mandalorian. And then at the end of the day, like, this is also the Marvel alumni that are rocking and rolling together. So Jon Favreau, director of Iron Man 1 and 2, plays Happy Hogan. Taika Waititi, Thor Ragnarok, plays Korg. I mean, why wouldn't you? If I was a Marvel director, I would absolutely insert myself into the pantheon by playing a character.
Right. And for the most part, they all tend to love both franchises. Usually when you talk to anybody, they're pumped to want to be in a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's one of those you have to be a certain person or not a well-known person to be in these films. So you either have to have a crazy amount of fame or no fame at all to be in a Star Wars film. So this is really cool. I'm looking forward to The Mandalorian. I think this is one that most fans are really excited for. I think even those on the fence fans who are just ready to throw in the towel and only stick with the original trilogy and forget that anything else existed. So this seems to be the show that is kind of reconnecting people and bringing people back and giving that excitement back to that Star Wars fan base for some of those who have lost it. So I'm excited for that. Taika Waititi is awesome. And if he's going to be IG-88, makes me wonder if his role will be kind of comedic in any sort.
Well,
I don't know.
It's kind of tough because
bounty hunter.
Right. And it'll be whatever this iteration of IG-88 is. Like, I'm used to IG-88 from Tales of the Bounty Hunter, the book series, or like, well, I
more,
should say, the book collection.
Version, yeah. Right?
Well, it's a much more lethal, much more dark version of it. And, but then again, you think of like the robot chicken IG-88, right? Or like the various, you know, Zuckuss and Forlom, it's or Dengar, you know, like all the different bounty hunters, and you get, depending on who's directing it, you could do an absolutely different take on it. So I'm excited to see what he does with it. I love Taika. I mean, you can give him all the voices and I'm on board.
Sweet, sweet. So let's talk about some more things coming to Disney Plus. Kenobi possibly going to Disney Plus. I don't know. This was an article that was recently released. It's been going around months ago that, you know, we were getting an Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff film. And then it was kind of like, no, that's not happening after all of the Last Jedi stuff happened. Like, eh, we're going to cut back on some of these things. Recently, the director on it or something said that, no, these things are still happening.
Yeah.
And more than likely, it's going to Disney Plus. But they're also saying that the reason why they're thinking it's the Kenobi series is because it's going to be Jedi based. And it's like, well, that could be anything. Just because they're making a series about the Jedi doesn't mean that it's going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Awesome if it is, but then where do we go from there? Is it Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan Kenobi, or are we getting an Obi-Wan Kenobi series young version, because that's what we do these days,
right? And it's entirely possible that like some of the information is getting, you know, crossed wires, if you will, because there is that Jedi Fallen Order video game that's coming. So it's like some of the information may be mixed up, but I mean, this is something that they've talked about previously of doing a Kenobi movie, and so it totally makes sense to me that while Bob Iger has said they're reevaluating how they're going to do a release schedule for the Star Wars films, that an easy way to mitigate some of that is going to be to release these solo series, right? Like what they did with what they're doing with The Mandalorian, what I could see them doing with Kenobi. Honestly, I almost feel like Solo would have been better served as a series,
yes,
as opposed to an actual film, because you could have moved with a slightly different pace. And then when you introduce the other bads that you wanted to introduce, it would just develop more of what that Han Solo pantheon was. And I think we would have been more accepting of it, because we'd be like, oh, it's a TV show, it's not another movie.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that was probably a missed opportunity that I am hoping they learned from that. And that's why they're planning on doing Kenobi as a show. It doesn't seem like there's any confirmation one way or the other whether or not Obi-Wan will be played by Ewan McGregor. But, I mean, if they're smart, that's the way they go. He's ageless. Mm-hmm. He's already worked with Disney on Christopher Robin.
Recently, Christopher Robin.
So I would imagine that they've got to that they've got to bring him back.
Yeah. I'm hoping so. Ewan McGregor is Obi-Wan Kenobi, but it's kind of the same as Harrison Ford is Han Solo. So if we can, I enjoyed the Solo film. So if we can see it as a younger Obi-Wan Kenobi, whatever they're going to do, I think a series is the way to go. I think we always talk about that when it comes to movies, that would they be better as a movie or would it be better as a series? Most of the time, they'd be better as series because you get to flesh out those characters better. And it's kind of one of those where you're not jumbling a 2.5 hour story where you're missing out on so much of like the character development or parts of the story where they flesh out and then they leave others to desire. And it's kind of like, I'd rather have known more about that than what you gave us. I feel like that happens way too often. And I think that could be done with Obi-Wan Kenobi because there is so much stuff that they can tell with, you know, things that were happening in between timelines, or if they want to go, who knows? I honestly don't know where they're going to go with it, but a series is the way to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it, for purely selfish reasons, it just gives us more time with that character.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
You know, I loved the Daredevil series, and when you think about it, with 13 episodes, that's 39 episodes we got of Daredevil. Potentially, that's about 30 some odd hours of Daredevil versus, you know, getting a 2 hour movie,
yeah,
hour and 45 minute movie. Yeah, like, yeah, really, I'll definitely take that.
You can connect with those characters on the same level as you do when you see them in film.
Yeah.
So if the fact that a TV show can do that for you, why not? You guys have a thing like Disney Plus coming out. I feel like put it there.
Well, and I think it's a safer bet too, because you have more room for error. Like, you can have a bad episode here or there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas when it's a movie, it's like if the movie was bad, it's or bad, even half of it, that's going to ruin the whole movie. Hell, you can even have like a bad season and still turn it
bring
around.
Bring it back.
You know?
Bring it back. Oh, and just to piggyback really quick on Marvel, Runaways got renewed for season 3. So
Yay! We
need to watch the second season.
Yeah, we need to dive in.
we still got Hulu to begin with.
Yeah, and then Cloak and Dagger, we got to finish that one. We've only watched like the first 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah. We have to go back because that second season's
also
out.
Also, yes.
And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. we have to catch up on. So we have
a lot of
Marvel TV to catch. Oh, and Legion.
But that's the fun thing about streaming services is you do it on your own time.
That's right.
As long as they don't cancel them.
At your leisure.
And delete them off of the service.
Right.
Anywho, so back to Star Wars news. A musical about Star Wars.
This is insane. So, I mean, I get it that it's off-Broadway and whatnot, but, like, didn't they do Harry Potter the musical? Isn't that how Darren Criss got, like, known? They did, like, an off-Broadway or some school production.
Oh, he didn't start in Glee?
No, they did a musical call. It was, like, Harry Potter the musical.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
And that's, like, how he got discovered or
totally.
Whatever.
Yep. Darren Criss. Love him. Anywho, so this is literally called A Musical About Star Wars. And like you said, it's an off-Broadway musical. But let's see. You can find it May 4th, of course, Star Wars Day. And the performances will begin March 22nd. So it'll be a little bit before then. But definitely, I imagine a lot of people in that area will be spending it at A Musical About Star Wars. And kind of what it is, why is it better than Star Trek? And why do we love Star Wars so much? And it's a comedy, of course, and a musical comedy at that. If I was in the area, I would totally watch it. Because, I don't know, it sounds funny. Sounds fun. People enjoy Spaceballs. I can't imagine you wouldn't enjoy a musical about Star Wars. So, what about you? Would you go see this?
Yeah, I mean, it's one, it's a musical. Two, it's Star Wars. Three, it's a musical about Star Wars. I mean, holy hell. And I don't know. It's just interesting, like, even the subtitle, or why Star Wars is the greatest thing in the galaxy. Much, much better than Star Trek. And then the Taylor and Scott, which they created it. They find themselves bonding in a Staten Island blockbuster video over their love of Star Wars films. And then the self-proclaimed Millennial Falcon and Gen X Winger create a musical that celebrates the magic, the fandom, and the legacy of all things Star Wars. And that is until their co-star, an actor, activist, and recent graduate of AMDA, makes a startling admission. So I'm sure the admission is, I've never seen Star Wars.
Uh-huh. And then, I can't believe you haven't seen that, comes in.
Yes, exactly. So they stole Tim and my mojo. No, but I mean, this looks like it would be a lot of fun. I mean, it is Theater Row. So it is off Broadway, but I mean, these are the type of shows that like you want to support them, like one, because a lot of work and effort goes into it, but two, like you never know when the next Hamilton's going to hit.
Yeah. Right?
So better to, not to say that this is going to be on the same level as Hamilton, but who knows? Like, who knows if it does end up being that freaking good? I remember getting a chance to see Producers on Broadway. And, you know, I wasn't really thinking much of it, but my friend, this was when I was still in high school, a friend of mine couldn't take his friends, so they asked me, because I'm not as close, but they were like, you're a dork and you like musicals. So his dad took me and him down to New York City, and I got to see it when it was Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that going into it until I'm sitting there and I'm like, I know these guys. And it blew my mind that I'm like, these guys are like Hollywood actors and here they are on Broadway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just anytime you get those kind of opportunities, you have to take it.
Exactly.
The one downside about not still residing in New York is you don't get access to fun things like that.
Totally, but a reason for traveling back and actually going to Broadway and off-Broadway shows.
This is too true.
But yeah, I'm excited for this. A musical about Star Wars, like I said, starts March 22nd, but yes, you can catch it May 4th for that epic Star Wars weekend, as if you're in the area, you should. Looks funny. I'm hoping that positive things will come of this and we'll see great reviews for it, but time will tell.
Perfect. All right. I think that's all we've got for the news. So yes. We want to take a quick break and then we'll pop back with some shout outs.
Cool.
Shout outs.
Fan flag fly engaged.
It's time for shout outs.
Shout outs.
All right. Let's see what you guys thought about Remy is in the other room singing shout outs. Gosh, I wish these are the things that you guys could hear.
Right?
All right. So let's talk about Toy Story 4 and what you guys thought about the new trailer. Princess Pinkovia, cool name, Princess Pinkovia, said, OMG, 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 exclamation mark, happy face, happy face, happy face, happy face. So super excited, I imagine. This person is pumped for Toy Story 4. Jazzy Nine Lives, not so much. Yep, they ruined it. Should have just left it at 2. So, all the way back to 2.
Wow.
So, even 3 ruined it for you? Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Like, that sucks. I thought 3 was amazing.
Yeah, no, I still thoroughly enjoyed 3.
I even think I like 3 more than 2 when I really think about it.
You can't say that. 2 was basically Star Wars.
I know, but we already had Star Wars, so I think I like 3 more than 2. Anywho, and then mastermind_outfitter said, looks great. So a little bit more positivity there. And then another person who was not really pumped on it, the real Ginger23, said, it looks great, but the series should have stopped at 3, to be honest. I think a lot of people are kind of there, though. It's one of those, why do they keep making sequels? Well, here it is. The reason they make sequels is because we keep paying for them and we keep buying all the merch and we keep saying we want more Toy Story, and they give it to us because they know we will continue to give them our money. So until we stop giving them our money, that's when they will probably stop doing it. And then the actors are still interested.
Yeah.
When they want to come back, are invested at, is these characters still, gosh, what, 95? That was the first Toy Story,
first,
right?
Yeah, 95, yeah.
Holy moly. Over, you know, like 20-something years.
Yeah, 24 years now.
That's nuts that these actors still want to return to these characters. Well, it means something.
Well, and it, at the end of the day, if there's still story to tell.
Totally.
You know, and whether or not it resonates with everybody is that individual person's choice. 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's kind of the thing, is that you've got, you know, like I was reading this article where people were talking about, and I won't say who had said it, but they had referred to Ant-Man as a flash in the pan character.
Oh.
You know? Like, oh, well, that's not a character anybody really cares about. I'm like, yeah, but it was done
for
by
you.
A studio that took a character that, as you're saying, flavor of the week or flash in the pan or whatever it was, and it's made it so it now is an important character. Like, here's Ant-Man in Endgame, arguably one of the biggest superhero movies of all time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, maybe we didn't care a whole lot about Ant-Man before the Ant-Man movie came out, but mm-hmm. now a ton of people not just care about him, but even know who he is. Mm-hmm. So it's like these are movies that, as long as we're going to get to revisit these characters in a way that gives us that sense of nostalgia, that sense of childhood, or just that sense of excitement that mm-hmm. we had when those other, when, you know, when Toy Story 1 came out in what, 95, 98 for Toy Story 2, 2010 for Toy Story 3, like, it has been a journey
Huge gaps in between these films.
Yeah, a journey to get to where we are. I mean, do you look at Star Wars and say, like, oh, they should have stopped with the original trilogy? Like, no.
Some people.
No, for sure. but it's interesting because very rarely have I talked to anybody that's like, oh, I hate The Last Jedi, and also they should never have done the prequels, and also The Force Awakens. Like, you know what I mean? People kind of pick and choose which ones they like and which one they don't. Yeah. And it's like, look, I'm not the biggest fan of Attack of the Clones, but you need Attack of the Clones to get to Revenge of the Sith, yeah, which I enjoyed that movie. So it's like, look, I get it. Not everything's going to resonate with everybody. It's impossible for us to do that these days because everybody has differing opinions. And with the way that the internet is, heck, even this podcast, everybody has a platform to speak their opinion.
They
and
do.
It's not to say that anybody's right or anybody's wrong, but I don't know. It's one of those, I would never tell a director or tell a studio like, hey, you have to stop making these. It's like, maybe I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, don't spend your money on it.
If you want to keep making them, go right ahead, man.
Totally. Like,
how many freaking Terminator movies have they made? I haven't seen any. The last Terminator movie I watched was Salvation, because I didn't watch Genesis, which I think was the follow-up to that one. I've seen four of the Terminator movies, the first four, but I haven't seen anything past that. And I'm not saying the movies were any good or any bad, but just I was no longer interested in watching any other movies. I think we rented Prometheus like years ago.
I don't even remember
making it all the way through the film. And I loved the first four Alien movies, but there are certain franchises that I don't need to go back and revisit. And there's other ones that I desperately want to.
Right.
Star Wars, Toy Story, the MCU, those are the stories I want to hear more of. So and that's not to say that the person that was like, oh, they should have stopped is wrong. Like, no, for them, they're 100% right. I would think that way.
Right. Yeah. It always goes back to that whole, if you're done with it, be done with it.
That's
okay.
It's fine.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
be cool done too. With it. Just stop giving them your money though. Don't spend more money on them, because if you do, they're going to continue to make them.
Yeah.
That's how it works. If they do well, which Toy Story 4 is, I'm going to call it now, is going to do well.
Yeah.
And if these actors are willing to keep going 5 years from now, 2 years from now, who knows how long all these guys are, how they're getting up there in age. I mean, not that old, but they are definitely getting up there. How long they want to still be voicing these characters. So it's, if they're willing to do it, if they're willing to make us these awesome stories, I'm pumped, because Toy Story is one of those things I never want to die.
Yeah.
And that's not said for everything Pixar does. Like, I love Pixar, but I don't need a sequel for every single one of their films.
Right.
But Toy Story is the franchise that can do it.
Yeah.
So
I'm in.
There we go.
Cool. I think that was pretty much it for shout outs.
Yes, we do love when you guys give us your opinions, though. We love hearing that not everybody agrees with us, you know? Like, if you guys are either tuning into our show and you have an opposing opinion, you'll let us know. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. We love to hear those things, because it's nice that we can have these conversations with you guys and be civil with each other and still be friends of some sort, where we don't have to be angry on the internet towards each other. Like, I'm not going to go back and comment to these people like, you're wrong. No, because you are right in your own way. And I think I'm right in my own way, and we will find some common ground there. I'm glad that we can agree on other things. So thank you for still continuing to give us all of your comments and suggestions, and just letting us know your thoughts, because that's why we do this. We love to interact with you guys. So cool. That's it for shout outs.
I'm losing my voice here. Remy finally back with the shout outs. All right. Yeah, so I guess that's all we've got for you guys for this episode. Bima, where can they find you on the interwebs?
I am at Citizen of Disney.
As always, you can find me at Liam Bright. Feel free to follow the show at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T.
All the way from California.
That's right. H-Y-L-T Radio on Twitter and Instagram. And then, as always, you can go to HiltRadio.com.
Sorry for the delay on this episode.
Yeah.
We got a little bit busy this weekend.
Yeah, and this week is so far is shaping up to be a fairly busy week as well. So
yes.
We will hopefully have some fun news to report for next week. But in the meantime, thanks as always for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode. But until then, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life?
Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.